Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Amen. My name is Sam, like you heard my name. I'm an evangelist by calling. It's such a privilege to be with you here. I also have my brothers from other places. Brother Amos, just from the people of your friends. Amen. I also have my brother and wife, Dimitri and Tahira, just with the people. I met them in Kimberley, and they knew I'm here, so they came through to be with us this morning in the service. All those people, they're such a blessing, and each one of them has a testimony, my personal testimony about their lives, and I'm so privileged. Dimitri, you're such a blessing, and your wife to my life as well. Pastor Yaku, what a blessing to open up the door for me, and Pastor Philip, God bless you. I want to share something that the Lord has put in my heart, and I believe for a time I have, I believe we're going to be blessed with it. And my prayer is that you don't leave this place the same way you've been. Just open up your heart to receive from Him. Because as I serve, also I'm receiving from Him. Not like everything I'm going to speak, I prepare it, but the Holy Spirit will speak into our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share what God gave to me, the treasure in the earthen vessels. The treasure in earthen vessels. We're going to read from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 up to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 7. The Bible says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in the earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and none from ourselves." I believe each one of us here, God has appointed you for a purpose, and you are called for a reason. I believe when God calls us, He appoints us because He has chosen us. Jesus knew each one of us even before we were born. We live before the bodies that people see. Some people, you know, I always tell them, I'm 33 years by now, and I tell them, I'm just this age on the flesh, but my spirit lived before this body lived. It's just that I'm living this time for a purpose like this, that God called me in this generation, like He called you and He called me in this generation. So we live before we came into this body. You believe that with me? So because you're a spirit with a soul living in a body. So what people see on the outside of you is not the description of who you are on the inside of you. Because you have the identity of Christ inside of you. And so Paul tells the church of Corinthians that we have this treasure in the earthen vessels. So the treasure the Bible is talking about is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the vessel is that body, your body itself. So in other words, God, with His power of the gospel inside of us, He wants this power to rest in us that we may use it to reach out to other people. This is the body we have. But there's so many things that people cannot understand when they see you, but God sees immense things inside of you, a lot of things beyond the description of people. So this is what I believe. That what people see you on the outside is not exactly what describes the inside of you. Because you hold something that other people have not known is such a treasure. And the treasure the Bible is talking about is the glorious gospel of Jesus. And that is Christ Jesus Himself living inside of us. The Bible says that Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So that in a time when Jesus Christ is being glorified and is revealed, also our lives will be revealed together with him. So that you cease to become yourself, but you become who God says that you are. So Paul is talking to the church of Corinthians, he's talking to them, he's writing to them that we have this treasure. First of all, he says we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ. If any man preaches himself, he's preaching about himself and therefore he's looking for his own glory. Jesus said, I don't seek any man's glory. And he said, whoever speaks from himself is seeking for his glory. But Jesus said, I seek the glory of the Father who sent me. So the glory of God is when you seek it and you dwell there, because the glory is the result of the presence of God. So whatever God is, the result is the glory. Whatever you see, the excellency, the power, dominion, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, all that comes from the presence of God. Because where God is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of God dwells, there is liberty. I have seen God move in different ways because I've come to understand. Me as an evangelist, I've come to testify this. Last year, like that crusade was in, it was this year in May, we were in a place called Bayare, 220 kilometers from Kampala. We drove there for almost 4.5 hours to get there. And one time I remember we were going to preach in one of the churches, and in a crusade and a church, because we connect with churches and a crusade as well, on an open door. So they were waiting for a big man to come. And they thought that the man who's coming is bringing a crusade here. He's a big, big man. He's an old man. And when they looked at me, they said, this is a young man. And one of my missions coordinators called David, he said that there is someone who was looking for you here. And said, I want to see evangelism. When the young man looked at me, just ran off, and he thought I'm a big man. But there was something. It's not about the age. It's not about how old you are. There is no junior Holy Spirit. God can use anybody at any stage. Even if you're 90 years, God can still use you. Even if you're 15 years, God can still use you. Because God is looking for a vessel. He's looking for somebody that he can use for his glory. Because the Spirit of God works inside of us. We live because he lives. You don't live because of yourself, because we cease to become ourselves and let Christ himself dwell. The Bible says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in your hearts. Because he's calling us and he's counting on us. When I go on crusades in Uganda, everywhere I can go to any place I want to go to Uganda to preach the gospel. Do you know why? Because that's my calling. You know, each one of you have come to a place where you feel the calling is calling you. You know, the Bible said, deep calls unto the deep. There's something that I don't want to race. I don't want to say, I want to have maybe this convenient time for myself. Yes, it's always there, but when God tells me, go here, I go there. No matter how much it costs, because I know he lives inside of me and will use me for his purpose. And I'm also going to tell somebody that God can use you and for his purpose and for his glory, because it's not all about you, it's all about Christ Jesus. So he's looking for a vessel that he can use. He says that, but we have this treasure in the earthen vessels. We have this gospel of Jesus in us. In other words, the testimony of Jesus is in us. The psalmist Paul tells the Christian church and say, when I came to you, I don't come to look. My message to you was not in persuasiveness of the word, was not in a message of thought in wisdom of men. But when I came to you, I was looking for a testimony of Christ and him being crucified in you. That's what Paul was looking in this church. So each of us here must have that inside of you. You must have a testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. When people see you, they must see Jesus. They must see Jesus Christ. This glorious gospel of Jesus lives inside of you. And
it brings about a compassion. By the way, you can never preach Christ if you don't have this compassion. To have the eyes of Christ, the way he would look to people, and you say, this is what Jesus would do. The compassion drives you. The calling calls to compassion. You can do nothing without compassion. Because compassion is an element of love. Are we together? So the Bible says that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. This still reminds us that you are just a vessel that God is using. And this power must be manifested inside of your life. Be it at your workplace. Maybe in a, there's what they call faith in the marketplace. Maybe you go for missions. God wants to use your life. And this morning, when I say that God wants to use your life, is looking for a vessel that can yield to him. Not everybody will say, yes, Lord, use me. Not everybody will say that. I think last year I shared my testimony. When I finished my degree in Bachelor's of Entrepreneurship in Uganda, in the top university in Uganda, Makerere University, 2015, God tells me, Sam, can you give me your degree here? I said, Lord, you know, I've just finished study. I have to go work. And he said, can you give it to me? Lay down on my feet. I said, Lord, and what do my parents say? I've just finished school and go to work. And then I say, I'm going to ministry. And he specifically God told me that I've called into full-time mission. He never said ministry, but mission. So that year, I remember it was in February. I said, Lord, yes, I surrender. I gave my degree to the feet of Jesus. I laid at the cross there. I said, yes, Lord, use me. And I tell you, from that day, I don't know what it means to go morning, to go work, and come back in the evening. But one thing I discovered, the Bible said that Jesus said, look, the harvest plentiful, but the workers are few. And he said, call on the Father the harvest, that he may send more laborers. And I said, Lord, before I call other people to come, send me, use me first. Then when they see me calling them to come, they will know what I'm doing, they will join the chariot. That's the thing. So from that day, I have seen souls. I have seen incredible miracles. I have seen the blind eyes open, the crippled walk out of wheelchair. I have seen people with anemia for 8 years disappear on the pulpit there on the crusade. Even churches, it happened. But I'll tell you one thing. I have seen more miracles when I go out of the church than when I'm in the church. Do you know why? Because God is calling us to go out. He's looking for us. Because the days we are in, these are last days. These are things that are happening. And some people don't actually understand and realize we're in the last of the last days. The things are just normal, yeah? I live my life every day. I want to live my life. No. God is looking at somebody who says, here I am, Lord. Send me. I am a vessel that God can use. Say, I am a vessel. Say with me, I am a vessel that God can use. God can use your life. He can use your life. Because our adequacy is not from ourselves, but it's from the Lord. You can't do it on your own. It's because he has chosen you. He has called you for a purpose. And there is therefore no condemnation unto those who are in Christ Jesus. Because he paid everything for you. And he paid it for me. So what best gift can you ever give to Jesus? I always tell people, if you want to quench the thirst of Jesus, give him a soul. Just one soul. You quench his thirst. Because all what brought him here first is to see people come to Christ. Reconcile to him. Reconcile to the Father. And that's why I keep coming to this country. I tell you, I've seen miracles. I've seen souls in this nation. I've loved to go to those places where people don't want even to go. I'll tell you, in 2018, I had a crusade in Mitchell's Plain. And in that place, after we preached a crusade, and I went out, we went to stairs. So because me, I want, if I see you, and I want to make sure you know Christ. So this lady was waiting on us, and I asked her, "Hey, how are you? I'm fine." Say, my name is Sam, I'm from Uganda. And say, "Oh, okay, where are you coming from?" I told her, "I'm coming from Mitchell's Plain." He said, "Wow!" Because they fear Mitchell's Plain. So you wonder that even the indigenous people fear their own places. But you come and go there. That's where the dry bones are, and they need to hear the hope. She said, I can't go there. I can't go to that place. She feared to go to Mitchell's Plain because they fear their own places. But if God calls to go, then you have to go. If you Ezekiel and tells you, can these dry bones come back to life? And you say, yes, they can come back to life. And you have to go. You've got to speak the word. You've got to believe God on his word. Because inside of you, there is a God that people come and see. When God called me, I said, yes, Lord. And I accepted to come. I said, Lord, send me. Like this trip alone, I was planned to come alone. And then I said, I'll come with my daughter. The Lord told me, you've got to go with the whole family. I said, okay, Lord. And I said, yeah, we are going. And this is what happened. I wrote that my budget was 40,000 rands. And I said, Lord, you provide this. And I believe you do that. One of the confirmations was a brother from Canada. I don't always talk to him so much often, but he said, Sam, God has told me to give you 500 Canadian dollars. And he asked me, is that the right figure? I said, if God has said, give it to me. I receive it. And I said, what for? I told, because 2 weeks back I was praying for finances to go to South Africa. And he said, okay, you go. That's the money God has me to give you. And that's how God began to provide. If God says you go, he'll make sure you pay your own bills. I mean, if he says you go, he will pay your bills. But if you take yourself, you've got you when you go to heaven, you ask Jonah what happened to him. You know Jonah in the Bible? Jonah is, God tells him, go somewhere and say, I'll go this side and pay his own fare. But God, because he had to bring him to a place where he wanted him to be, he had to use a crowd to get him to a place. So, child of God, if you don't go where God needs to go, he'll get you there anyway. Because you not miss God. You not miss God. May I believe that each one of us can be used of God. And this is something that I felt this morning God spoke to me. He desires a vessel that can yield to him. He desires somebody that can say, Lord, here I am. Send me. There is nothing that God cannot do. But if you can put faith in yourself, then you can put your faith in yourself. But if you can trust God, trust him, then you do what you cannot do. Hello? God is looking for a vessel. And the Bible says, John 15 verse 16 says, you do not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you. Number one, God chose you. Jesus says, I chose you. And second, he says, I appointed you. He chose you and he has appointed you for such as a purpose like this that you may bear the fruit and that fruit may remain. In other words, your fruit is not for a season, but for season and season even after you. One day they will know there is somebody in this family, in this generation, who served God. Your fruit must remain. It's not for a season. It's not like I'm feeling convenient now. That's okay with me. God uses each and everyone who says, I am here, Lord. Send me because you called me and therefore you have appointed me for such a purpose. Amen. He says that you did not choose me. You did not have a prayer to choose yourself because you could not save yourself. You could not
Redeem yourself. In every way man tried to do to please God, he couldn't do it. But Jesus desired to give the ultimate sacrifice. Once for all, each one of us can have an access to the Father. I always saw people when I go on crusade mission, they say, don't look to me, look to God. Because of faith, my faith connects to God and the miracle happens. 2 weeks back, I was still in Uganda. And a friend of mine called me and said, I have this elderly people, they were a couple. And one was blind. She had, the old woman was blind for 5 years because she had diabetes and high blood sugars. High blood pressure. And then the husband, who is around 75 years, had an issue with his leg for 18 months. So the one who has a leg issue was helping the blind at the same time. And was staying in a very small house. And this friend told me, you've got to run here. Please come and meet these ladies and this couple. Pray for them. Pray with them. I said, little because I was busy planning for a mission, I said, I'm not coming now, but I'll come later. But if you want me to pray, I'm going to pray. And the miracle will happen. Because I believe I don't have to go to that house for a miracle to happen. I can give a call. Remember that sentient, that official who told Jesus, please, you don't have to come to my house, but just speak the word and my servant will be well? I said, we're going to pray a prayer now. I was in my house. I put them on a call. We prayed. And I gave the man instruction to do what I was telling him. I said, we pray in the name of Jesus. Blind eyes will open now. And I said, tell that man to drop his stick now in the name of Jesus. The man dropped his stick and began to walk. And the eyes opened. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I put up the phone. After 4 days, I said, I'm going to come to see you. I went to see them. And the woman could see, and the man was walking. He's a God over distance. Inside of you, you can speak the word, it can happen. Because it happened in the Bible. It happened. Jesus did it. It can happen even today. The same God was this by then, the same God. The same Spirit of God in the beginning is the same Spirit of God that can use your life. There is no junior Holy Spirit. Oh, how I love the gospel. My prayer is for each one of us here. Is to find a place where you can say, Lord, send me there. Use me there. To heaven is the devil, to heaven with souls. To hell is the devil and to heaven with souls. To heaven we go with souls. There's nothing much you're going to take with yourself. This is a fact. I'm going to talk to you now. The people who are rich unto themselves, but they're not rich unto God. And ask the question is, are you sure you're rich unto God or you're rich unto yourself? Or you're like that man who said, my soul, you've made a lot of wealth and riches. Eat, marry, and rest. And the Bible says, he had pulled down even a barn and put more stock there. And Jesus said, you fool. Today night, if night you die, where is your soul going? And yes, he said that many people are rich unto themselves, but not rich unto God. Now, to me, I made a decision. I said, Lord, even whatever you give me is not even mine, belongs to you. If it comes to something that means a soul, I can't reserve even a penny. My wife knows that. The times we go on crusades and we plan, like last year in April, we had a crusade and it was costing 16 million Uganda shillings. That's like around $5,000 US dollars. That was our budget for only 4 days. And I said, Lord, we are going. You know, missions like when you're building a house and there's some said you cannot easily stop. Have you come to a place where you can't stop? Huh? By all means, you have to find a way how to finish that. So we went there and said, we are going. I went with my visa card. I said, we are going and we must finish this crusade. I emptied the whole account. I left with nothing completely.
You know why? For a soul. There is nothing you can reserve if it comes to the kingdom purpose. Some of us, we have our own money. Say, this is my money. Lord, don't touch it. This is my money. This is my house. This is my car. I can't give it to anybody. Lord, if you want to use it, give me someone else, then I can use it for that. But not this one. The people that have their own things, and it's not for God. Is everything that you have belongs to him? Because you say, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. So is your Savior and must be the Lord over all that you own. All together. That's the thing. So God wants us to be in a place that he can use. He wants to make sure that your life pleases him. Because when your light shines, people see it. And they'll give God the glory. When your light begins to shine, people will see that light. And they'll give God the glory. Your works in Christ, not in the flesh, but in Christ, must glorify him. And this is what the Bible says in Acts 10:38. It says that you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed and who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So you see, even God the Father was with his Son. In everything that Jesus did, the Father authenticated by his presence being with the Son. So everywhere that you go, the Father is with you. And Jesus said, if anyone keeps my word and loves me, he says, I and the Father shall come and have habitation with him. So if you love and you keep his word, you have the whole God inside of you. Because he's pleased the Father that all fullness would dwell in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ, so you have everything that contains in him. You have a diet of Christ. You are the DNA of Christ. Your life does not belong to yourself. It belongs to him. Look at the life of Paul. He gave his all and said, I surrender everything to you, Lord. He said, I was a blasphemer. I was a transgressor of the church. But he said, God graced me. He said, God graced me. You know, each one of us, God graced you. He graced you that you are here. He loved you so much that he had to reveal his purpose into your life. And that's a fact that we are belonging to him because of the grace and such the joy inexpressible of his love that he revealed himself to us. And now, this same love we must show the people. You can never say, I love you, God, and you don't love people. If you love God, you must love people. And if you love people, you must love God. So Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. That he went about doing good to all people. Everywhere that you go, goodness and mercy shall follow you. Because Jesus did good to all people. And we too must do good to all people. He is anointing us. We are such a vessel that God can use. This morning I had a revelation. You know, when the Bible says that you can't pour new wine into the old wineskin, otherwise it will burst. So you know what happened those days? It's not like every time they could put this wine in every new wineskin. But what kept these wineskins like new every time is because they put them in oil, and they would always wash them. So you can use it again and again. So what makes us new, what makes us different, is what God actually deposits inside of us. We must wash these wineskins with the oil, because the oil breaks the yoke and destroys it completely. The anointing. Somebody here needs anointing. You must allow God to use you. It multiplies. And you come and say, yes, my cup overflows. Those skins must be put into oil that every time can be used again. What makes you not be fading up every time is because you have the oil. You have the anointing. You have the love of Christ. It is inside of you. It is moving inside of your life. There is that fire that you cannot contain. It is too much sometimes. And I said, Lord, wash me again and again, that you may use me now and then. You are not a disposable vessel. No. It's not like a cup and, you know, just drop and then drop away. No, God, if he says, I've chosen you, he has chosen you. You belong to him. So this morning, we're going to pray. I don't know where your life is, but you must come to a moment and say, Lord, this is me. I don't know your past. I don't know your life experience. Some of us are so frustrated, actually. There's a young lady who is in our church. Some years back, when she was still young, she gave a testimony and said, one time I said, God, I don't love you. And I loved that because she was so genuine. Some of us actually pretend, but God sees the heart. In Africa, we say heart. Is that right? Yeah. He sees the heart. He knows what you hide before people, but God sees you because there's nothing that you can hide from him. When you say, yes, Lord, it is my time to be used by you, he will use you and he will send you and he will go with you. Because it says, when the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall receive power and you shall become my witnesses. You become the witness because you felt his presence. You have felt his love. I tell you, if I begin to share about testimonies of what I've seen God doing, some miracles actually humble me. You know, that's what the Bible says, that surpassing greatness of his power may not be from us, but from him. So whatever God does in your life, you remember, it's not because you, but because of him, for his glory. Last year, when I was here, I left and I went to a place called Douglas in Kimberley. And I was staying in one of the houses there. And there came this old mama. She was in her 70s. And then she came to my room and she was bringing me tea. Just you know, I don't always take coffee, personally. I just love rooibos tea when I'm here. And so she came to my room. And she was quite heavy, but she was leaping. And my eyes looked straight into her eyes. And I saw pain. You know, I almost failed to take this rooibos tea that evening. Because my heart was deeply hurt as well. I was like, Lord, this mama. And there were other granddaughters in the house, but she came to my house, my room, and I said, let me finish my rebel scene and I'll go see her and I know what happens. So she told me this story. She had a hip surgery, and then she had a back surgery, and a knee was pending. She was going to have a kneecap replacement. And I said, Mama, do you believe that God can touch you tonight? Not tomorrow, but tonight. That's the confidence we have in Christ. I said, Lord, tonight. Mama, tonight, not tomorrow. She was walking in pain. You know, that's what taught me much about what compassion is. You come into a place that you look this person as Christ would look that person. I said, Mama, tonight. She said, okay, let's pray. And she was a believer. I said, I believe. She spoke the word Canada, and seeing blessing and grace, spoke some Afrikaans there. I said, okay. I picked up those words. And they would say, we're going to pray now. And I said, I believe tonight, not tomorrow. There was the unction or the anointing in that night. And I prayed for her. And I said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk and let every pain leave your back. And I command a new cup into your knee. And your back to be healed now. I told her, wake up, rise up, and walk. This mama ran into the house, and the granddaughters could not believe it. She bent down, up, did like this with her knee. There was no pain up to now. This is what compassion does. Compassion brings you to a place where you feel like Jesus would feel for that person. And I tell you, you can never go out unless you have compassion for the lost souls. You can never preach the gospel of Jesus unless you have that compassion, that love that took Christ Jesus on the cross. If it's not inside of you, you can never go out there because you don't know what Jesus did. I'll tell you something. The strength of the church is not how many they sit. It is how many they send out. The strength of the church is not 100,000 of people they see, but it's how many you send. That's what counts before God. I pretty yes, it's good to have 5,000 people in your church. Oh, thank God. At the end of the year, if you count the soul that you've brought to Christ, zero. And they say, oh, praise the Lord. They are not actually adding any value to the kingdom. There is a verse in the Bible that this servant was so, the Bible says, was highly regarded by his master. And the officials pleaded unto Jesus and said, please heal his servant. And said, this centurion built for us a synagogue. When I was in Israel, I saw that synagogue which was built by the centurion. I was there. And I said, please, this man, heal his servant because he built for us this synagogue. But the Bible says his servant was highly regarded. In other words, he must be of a good value. And I always ask people, do you have a value to the kingdom? Do you have any addition? Do you add any value? You know, when you're employed anywhere, they always look to see that if you can add value to the kingdom or in your workplace. The question is, do you add value? At the end of the year, when they have the performance appraisers, do they see the value of your presence? Now, let's come to the kingdom. Does the kingdom see your value when there's any performance appraisal at the end of the year? Are you sure? Praise the Lord. So my heart desire is to lead people on fire to go out. And also to see souls coming to Jesus. In that crusade you saw, we had over 3,000 people every night. And that only crusade cost me just like $3,000 for only 4 days. And that money, to me, is nothing because you can't compare any currency to a soul. You cannot compare any currency. You can't compare anything. You cannot compare that. And I pray, Pastor Yaku, next year, send these people to Uganda. I'll organize a big crusade for them. I'll take them in the bush there. Hey, yes, you should come. We go. I take you there. Don't worry about the equipment. I have a public address system worth 100 million Ugandan shillings. That's $25. Don't worry about that. I'll finance the crusade. We shall go and preach the gospel. You come and preach with me. So I give you an official invitation. Come to Uganda. And you go there and preach the gospel. At the end of the day, you know, hey God, we brought these 100 souls to you. We baptized people there. The crippled walk. The blind eyes open. We saw miracles. Miracles are there. The unpreached gospel is not gospel. I repeat that. The unpreached gospel is not gospel. And when the gospel is not preached, it has no power. Because there's no power to expose. The gospel of Jesus has power. So when you preach the word, the power manifests. There's an explosion in the spirit. But the first thing is to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. I am a vessel. Because you have such a treasure inside of you. Amen. Can raise up on your feet, please. I don't know where your position is. I don't know what is that in your heart. I don't know what you feel inside of you. But my prayer is that you catch the fire. That will send you out. Your passion will be the passion of Christ. And if you are here and you know yourself that my life is not right with him. And especially if Christ comes back or if I find him one day, I don't know what to say. There is an answer that you can truly say, Jesus, I belong to you. You know, some people, Pastor Yaku, they don't believe, they forget one thing, that they're going to die one day. That's the thing that people forget about. You know, when you're so busy every day, you forget about that. That one day, your body will stay here, but your soul will go to heaven, will go somewhere. But that white person must be heaven. Sometimes we shouldn't forget that one day we're going to give an account of your life before the master. How will that day be like? Are you sure you will stand and say, yes, Lord, I accepted you? And remember the Bible says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. But him that does the will of the Father, that's the most important. We should not never lose a reward before to him. There is a place that God wants us to be. The place of feeling his love, his mercy, and show the compassion of Christ to other people. And especially if you are here in your life, you are very sure that you don't know Christ actually. You feel maybe you've been loving at some point and you feel your life has backslid and you are not in that place that we are supposed to be. If you are here and you feel that, and you feel you need to reconcile again, if you've backslid from faith, slide back to faith. Get your right self back to Christ. Because these are the last days. We cannot stand and waste any more time. God wants to use your life. If you are there, first of all, we're going to pray two kinds of prayers. I'll pray for the sick and have the impartation of the Spirit as well in our lives. But if you're here, first of all, and you know, you don't know Christ. Actually, you've not said, Jesus, I give you my life. I confess that you are Lord, my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. You've never said that. Oh, you said that sometime. And your life has been sowing away from him. Just walk. And come here, I want to pray with you. Just feel free to come and pray. Because it's the same God who can save and can reconcile your life and get you back to that place that you belong. You need to come back to that place. You can come straight. If you feel like you are in a place that is not really where you want to be in the spiritual sense, your life is missing something. You want to recommit your life to Christ, or you give your life to Christ again. It's your life.
give it to him. And just come straight. And trust God with you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.